And we're going to take your phone calls now this entire hour with Norio Hayakawa. So that'll be next on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back, and let's go to the phones. Norio, you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Here we go. We'll pick it up by going to Van Nuys, California first. Bob, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, thanks. First one in tonight.
Yes, you are.
Thanks. Yeah, here's something really interesting. I have a weird take on the same thing, too. I'm sure your take will maybe be a little bit different. Your guest's take will be on it a little bit different. But I was wondering what your guest thinks about that weird, mysterious, so-called Russian missile that went out of control over Norway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was looking at, this is what I think. I don't know. This is what I'm thinking about. Because we all know that the planets are going to line up somewhere around 2012. And we know that's going to pose a major stress on the sun, which it could have a solar flare. And I'm thinking that Russia is using a device to spin around to keep the gamma rays are trying to protect the citizens. And I think the HARP and the spraying that's going on, the chem sprays, is an iron-based material that they spray over populations that they're going to energize with HARP and protect us from gamma radiation from the solar flare that's going to happen around 2012. And that would seem like an intelligent thing. But looking at that device, it looks like an anti-missile system, doesn't it? That thing's firing around in case they're attacked by nukes
or something? That's what Richard Hoagland thinks it is. They captured this Russian missile with some kind of anti-missile device.
And you know what's sort of weird? That happened exactly at the same time when our intelligence force, I know some people in the military, and they told me at just maybe 3 or 4 days after that so-called anti-missile test device, that we found out that Bin Laden has been aiding and abetting Osama Bin Laden over a border, because we were trying to get him recently with some troops in there, and the Russians were protecting the guy. And we're going, what the heck is this? Russia's aiding and abetting this guy? Are they insane? And then our government, their guys were telling me that we're negotiating with Russia because there's borders and stuff near Russia where where he's been going. So
let's get Norio's take on this. Norio.
Well, I'm not really an expert on this type of situation as far as rocketry and so on is concerned. But, a lot of people do believe that the Norwegian spiral phenomenon is could be a result of the partially from HARP project. But, did you know, George, that the HARP project itself is an offshoot of the Project Blue Beam? Actually, in many aspects, it's very similar, but the HARP is diversified. Plan is to, in the future, to create a gigantic screen in outer space, and in bombarding, many types of magnetic waves, and then creating screens where they can bounce the waves and measure things where the underground bases are and so on, and even projections of holograms. But I'm not really too familiar with this the Norwegian spiral phenomenon, but it's interesting, no question about it.
Okay, next up we go to Chicago, Illinois. First time caller Tom, good morning.
Ohio gozaimasu, gentlemen.
Tom.
I spent some time in Yokohama during the Vietnam crisis. I was at Camp Zama.
I see.
I've been studying metaphysics and spirituality for about 43 years. I have not gone public with anything. I'm sure I'll be on George's show someday. But I was drawn to New Mexico this past year. I only spent a couple days, but I did have a few unusual phenomena. First of all, I was struggling with some emotional issues with my kids. And all of a sudden, in front of me, while I was driving by the mountains, a cloud, literally in front of me, huge, formed a shape of an angel with a trumpet, which is the logo of my publishing company, which is related to the seventh trumpet in the book of Revelation. And that was really freaky. And then that night, I was in a park by, I don't know if you ever heard of Lake Okey by Logan. I was on that lake. It was a national park. The guy said there will be crowds of people coming because it was a holiday weekend. Nobody showed up at night or in the morning. I was there all alone all night. I slept in my car, and what happened was my car was shaking from high winds, and it woke me up, and I looked up, and there were these ominous clouds hanging directly above my car with electrical lightning coming out of, and no rain. No rain for like an hour's, just this cloud and the lightning just sitting over there. And that was really, really unusual with going there to New Mexico.
Yes.
And then I wanted to ask you real quick, the guest, have you ever heard of Peace Love Productions or Acid Software?
I have not.
Okay. My son developed some software that you probably use in some of your orchestration.
Interesting. Fascinating. Is he selling it? Is he doing well with it?
Yeah, he develops software for musicians. His main name is DJ Puzzle, and he lives in Chicago, but he distributes it all over the world. And he was working for Sonic Foundry in Madison, and then they were bought by Sony.
Okay, well, good for him. Thank you so much for that. Let's go to a couple more calls here. Tom in Oklahoma, east of the Rockies. Hi, Tom.
Yeah, thank you, George.
Sure.
I've had several experiences, or I should say my father did, when we were living in New Mexico, which, by the way, I agree with your guest, that is extremely enchanting, magical state. I'd say of all the 50 states, it probably has more to offer on a spiritual and cultural level than anything anywhere else. He was involved in the V2 rocket development program in the late 40s and early 50s in Holloman Air Force Base. And he told me one time, he said, every time we would fire a rocket downrange, it would invariably be tracked by one or two UFOs all the way down. And also, a good friend of mine had an uncle in Socorro, New Mexico, had a large ranch out east of the city. And he said there were lights leaving him back of his property in formation at night and daytime. He would occasionally see silvery objects also heading south, apparently toward the White Sands missile range. And he decided to go on the back of his property because he was missing some cattle. And he got just at the foothills to these low mountains at the rear east side of his property. And he said there was a 30-foot white saucer, silvery saucer, that stopped him from going any further. And he said he never, ever tried to go to the back of his property again. My father was also at Sandia Base, New Mexico, in Albuquerque, and he attended a conference, a very high-level conference at MIT in 1953 during the summer. And paraphernalia, the uniforms, the wreckage, everything else from the Roswell incident was all on display there, and they had a complete explanation to the elite of the technology in this country, people from the military, people from Sandia, from Caltech, from MIT, and everything were being explained to that this actually happened and that we were worried at the time that they were doing early reconnaissance on this planet for the purpose of coming back and invading and taking us over.
Very interesting, yes. Tom, as you stated, New Mexico is indeed a mysterious state enchantment, really in that sense of the word. And you know what? Tomorrow, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, will be the 60th anniversary of the massive UFO sightings in the U.S. history that took place in Farmington, New Mexico, exactly on March 17th, 1950, and it lasted for 3 days. And this sighting, talk about the largest mass sightings of UFOs in U.S. history. We're not talking about the Phoenix Lights. We're talking about the amazing armada of flying saucers witnessed by hundreds of citizens in downtown Farmington during the broad daylight from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. in 1950, and they were witnessing an armada of flying saucers that numbered about anywhere from 300 to even up to 500. This is the greatest, the largest mass
sightings of flying saucers in the U.S. history.
What could they have been?
Nora? We have no idea. We have no idea. It happened in 1950, and it was the headline news at the Farmington Daily News. And there are a few people that live today in Farmington that can tell you of what they saw. And a few years ago, I visited Farmington. I went to the senior center, and I found several people who told me about that amazing sightings. And this is why I believe that the Four Corners area, as well as the Dulce area, as well as the Aztec area, as well as the north of Dulce up to southern Colorado area, is you know, filled with sighting reports. And this gentleman just told me about Tom, about the flying saucer sightings.
Yeah.
In near Socorro as well. But did you know that in 1964, in April, the month of April, the very same month of the sightings by Lonnie Samora in Socorro, there was an allegation that an object landed in the same month, in 1964, at Holloman Air Force Base, and some kind of exchange was conducted between the U.S. government and these entities. That is still being talked about even right now. So there's so many mysteries hidden in this state. The other guest mentioned about seeing weird clouds in New Mexico. Yes, New Mexico has definitely amazing diversity of cloud formations. New Mexico generally have deep blue sky, clear deep blue sky, but occasionally it has some strange, colorful clouds hanging around, and this is a fact.
Let's go to Merced, California, west of the Rockies. Adrian, it's your turn. Hi.
Hey, George, how are you doing?
Good, thanks.
I got a question about the, what was it called, those holographic images,
mm-hmm.
of those and stuff?
Sure.
So why exactly would the government and the military want to have the U.S. panic
about
a UFO invasion?
That is the good question. We believe it's to create the one world government. If there's panic, people will say, help us. Create the problem, create the reaction, then the solution. It's what David Icke has always called the panic reaction solution formula. You create the fear, and then you come in with the solution. And that solution is the one world government, the one world army. Would you agree, Norio?
I definitely agree. That will be the most ideal way to forcefully, subjugate the population into one unity, to create an outside threat.
Coming sooner than later, you believe?
I think it's possible. Just looking at the world events and world economic conditions, things are happening.
Absolutely. I mean, I think they're softening us up with the economic condition and everything else that's happened here over the years, and now they're going to come in for the grand finale. You know, and people will simply say, do what you got to do. And that's a shame. Let's go to Alexander, Louisiana. It's got to be Cornelius.
Yes, sir. How you doing,
yeah,
George?
Yeah, the only one there in Alexander, Louisiana, I know.
Mr. Hightower, God bless both of y'all, and I want to thank Jason, your call screener. I see you gave Tommy the night off for his birthday.
He sure did.
Sure. But my question, and I don't know if he's studied the Bible or anything like that, they may do like this false flag with the rapture or something like that. So that was my idea, and I'll just let y'all take it, and I'll take my answer off the air. God bless both of y'all.
Okay. I don't know. Do you get biblical at all, Noria?
Well, actually, I try to balance everything. It's just a matter of terminology and interpretation. So, you know, in this world, there are words that actually have different meanings to each person. And, some people believe in the so-called evacuation or so-called rapture. A mysterious phenomenon. Some people believe that's going to happen, but my belief is that anything could be staged, and any beliefs could be manipulated by the government or secret government itself in order to make a person believe. For example, a religious person can interpret certain things in a religious way. But we have enough technology these days, and the technology is rapidly multiplying at a rapid rate. And so it's amazing what kind of technology we already have now, and that could deceive a lot of people, and that could involve the religious beliefs of each person.
Absolutely. We'll squeeze in one more before the break. We'll go to Virginia. Sean, it's your turn. Hi, Sean. Go ahead.
Yes. How are you?
Good.
Good. I grew up in New Mexico in the early 70s. My father worked for the government. He was out there at Kirkland, and he spent a lot of time White Sands, going different places. He's since retired. He was transferred up here to the Pentagon and worked around several bases out this way and stuff. But I can remember my dad spent a lot of time up in Dulce, got sent up there for a lot of stuff. And I don't know. Are you familiar with Stone Lake, Norio?
Yes, I heard about Stone Lake. I heard about the Vado.
Uh-huh.
El Vado Lake. These are very interesting lakes. There have been sightings of strange things in these areas and these lakes.
Well, we used to spend a lot of time up at Stone Lake, and my father would take me up there. And many times, I remember my grandparents, the Jicarillas, had built a new little small resort on the side of the lake there and stuff, but we'd go up there and camp. But I can remember my dad would, especially during the summer, he would often leave sometimes just, on the spur of a moment. He'd be gone. Sometimes he'd be gone overnight, but he'd come back. We'd stay there and we'd camp for like a couple weeks, with the grandparents and stuff. But we used to spend a lot of time between Dulce and Stone Lake. And I remember one time my father had taken me up, and he always went up there. He had kind of like an average pickup truck with a small camper on it. He went up there just kind of, kind of low key and everything. But I remember we were going up there real late, and we stopped somewhere before we got to Stone Lake. And normally I would sleep in the back of the camper if we got up there real late. But I remember coming in, waking up one night. We had party. It was just me and my father, and I remember looking through the front of the camper, through the front of the windshield, and something had stirred me, and I saw something that had come down. It was hard to make out the shape. There were very small lights on it, and there were like a couple men, and there were some small lights, on the ground and everything. But I remember that this thing came down. And it didn't make any noise, couldn't feel any vibrations or anything like that. But as soon as the thing had came out, and I was looking down like a gravel road, maybe 75 yards or something like that. And I remember the thing had come down, and when it came down, there were some lights that had come on, and it looked like what was lowered out of this thing was a cow.
A cow? We've heard of things like that. Hold on. We'll be back. Well, next hour, we're going to talk about soul retrieval with Sandra Ingerman. So stand by for that. We'll come back and take final phone calls with Norio Hayakawa as well, right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. Let's go back to Sean in Virginia. So, Sean, a cow was being lowered from this craft?
That's what it looked like to me. It was hard to see that exactly and stuff, but that's what it really looked like to me.
That's very interesting, because there is, as I mentioned earlier in the show, I know of a family, a rancher, a well-known rancher in Dulce, who no longer has a ranch, because they lost 17 cows between 1975 and 1985, and equivalent of $100,000. They lost, and they had to sell those ranches, and there's just a grocery store in a little area. But according to his testimony, yes, people have seen the cows being dumped on a tree from what appeared to be either a helicopter or some kind of a craft. And the fantastic thing about all of this is that there are many reports in the Dulce area where people thought they seen a helicopter, but they weren't sure because that helicopter had a shield of something, energy of something, that made it look like a flying saucer. And, you know, this rancher told me that some of his cows were selected, pre-selected before they were mutilated. And so, you know, the association of cows being dropped or lowered by some kind of a craft is not a far-fetched story. It could be true.
Oh, we've heard stories of cars getting hit by falling cows, remember? I mean, how bizarre can that get? Who knows where they came from? Let's go to Santa Monica, California. Jeremy, you're up with us. Hi, Jeremy.
Hey, how you doing, Norio?
Okay.
Oh, hello, Jeremy.
Hey, Norio's a good friend. I just wanted to say, I had a chance to spend some time with Norio in New Mexico. And Norio's like an incredible researcher and really opened a lot of doors. And, you know, he's been having a lot of meetings lately, and it was just a fascinating experience kind of looking at all these phenomena through Norio's eyes, because I think he has a real unique perspective. And something I was hoping maybe you'd touch upon a little bit, you know, right in your backyard, Norio, is, you know, how Paul Benowitz relates back to the Dulce situation, and kind of just get a little bit more from you on Dulce, because that was some of the most fascinating stuff we talked about.
Yes, Jeremy, this is a very good question, because we cannot discuss the Dulce rumors unless we bring in Paul Benowitz, who was a scientist who lived right next to Kirtland Air Force Base. And in 1979, 1980, he used to observe some strange lights over Manzano Underground Nuclear Storage Complex, 1979, 1980. And what happened was that the Air Force got worried that this person was seeing these things, and it took him to the base, and they made an explanation that these were alien craft. And actually, the Air Force at one time tried to focus his attention away from Kirtland, and they allegedly pointed him north to New Mexico, and that's where the whole Dulce thing started. But the funny thing is that, yeah, there is still something. There is something going on in the Dulce to begin with. But yes, I believe that there was a psychological manipulation to this Paul Benowitz, and Paul Benowitz was doing a business with the Air Force. He was a specialist in military-grade humidifiers. But Paul Benowitz, in my opinion, knew that he was a target. And a lot of people believe that Paul Benowitz was brainwashed and by the Air Force, making him believe that there's a base in Dulce, New Mexico. But I think, personally, that he was aware that he was the target of this thing. But independently, Paul Benowitz went to Dulce. He flew over Dulce many times because he was also a pilot. And he came to the conclusion, yes, there is something there. So, you know, this is my take on Paul Benowitz. He is a very, very important person in the Dulce story. And even today, his company, the Thunder Scientific Corporation, is operating right next to Kirtland Base and doing business with the Air Force.
So many strange things going on out there, Norio.
It is
so
true.
Many strange things. Do you see any more media go out that way, or do they back off? Any media, television go out there to investigate?
Oh, yes. You know, a strange thing is that, the media doesn't really know these things. They have no idea what Dulce is. In fact, a city such as Albuquerque. By the way, I live in Rio Rancho, which is right next to Albuquerque. But Albuquerque has lots of military personnel, lots of scientists living, and defense contractors living. But there's not even one UFO organization in Albuquerque except for one, which we actually helped create last year. It's called Albuquerque UFO and Paranormal Forum. But, you know, the news media in New Mexico don't seem to be focusing on these supernatural aspects of New Mexico as much.
No, not at all. Next up, we go to Pennsylvania. Gary's a first-time caller. Good morning, Gary.
Hey, good morning.
Hi.
Good talking to you. Long-time listener. This is actually my first time calling. My real question was, anything recent or come out of Iraq with any of the veterans? I mean, I personally, you know, have my experiences with objects that we couldn't really describe, and I was just wondering if
we've had some reports of that. Norio, I'm not sure you've investigated that, have you?
No, not really. The only thing I was interested is in the 1993 report of made by CNN about the use of psyops involving possibly holographic projections at one point during the Iraqi war.
Well, I know we fired upon one when we were there in 04, and that was, I mean, nothing really ever happened to it, but we messed it up pretty good. I mean, the way you describe some of these things is they're fairly ethereal, you know, not really there. But, I mean, when we had contact with it, was pretty solid.
You heard a ping and when you shot at it?
Well, it was trailing us for a while. Paralleling us on MSR Tampa heading down to Baghdad, and we thought it was a chopper at first. When we called HQ, they said they didn't have any aircraft in the area, so we tried to saw blade it, which is where you take like an infrared chem stick and put it on a 550 cord and you twirl it around, and you can see that for miles. We figured at that point, if it was a chopper, it would come toward us, mm-hmm. or let us know for on the radio, but we didn't get anything. We called HQ again to let them know, because our rear gunner was telling us as it's it was too low, and it was knocking out the power lines as it was flying over parallel to us. HQ told us to pull over and try to make contact, and so we saw bladed it with the infrared chem stick, and it started to approach. And it threw a searchlight upon our convoy, which is only four vehicles long because we're just doing a route recon, and it knocked everything out on the vehicles.
Jeez.
So at that point, our convoy commander just told us to light it up, which, you know, it was only about 20 seconds, and the thing rocked backwards from the impact. And we tried to see what it was. It was triangular in shape, round. Rounded edges. We didn't see any windows of any kind.
And there's no way it was a drone, Gary, right?
Ah, I don't know.
No, I didn't think so.
No, but we fired on it twice, and the second time it rotated to the southwest and listed off. And at that point, we waited on the side of the road for a good 2 hours because we missed our arrival time. So QRS showed up and finally got us wreckers. And the mechanics didn't know what to do with the vehicles because they were all deadlines.
Jeez. Norio, have you heard this before, these kinds of stories?
Not too often, but it's a fact that the sightings do seem to still occur in the battlefield areas.
There's some interest there.
Definitely.
Whatever. First-time caller, Gary, thank you so much. Let's go next to South Dakota. Dave, it's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi, David.
Hi.
Go ahead, Dave.
I had something that's been baffling me for the years. This is basically directed for Norio. As a musician and a recording engineer, I tested a piece of software, like this is many, many years ago, 15 years ago or so, and it was called Cool Edit Pro or something, and it had this filter or effect called like a psychoacoustic alpha wave generator, and it just seemed really bizarre that this piece of shareware would even have something just that sort of esoteric, and I played with it a little bit, and it basically just kind of made the sound kind of wave. I don't know. It made it. You could tell that it kind of wavered in a certain frequency that I'm guessing is similar to like what alpha waves would be. But the question is, I mean, what's always baffled me is why would a sound editing program add something like this filter, and I'm wondering if Norio, if you've heard of anything like this, and if it's useful, if you use this, if you've heard of anything like this.
No, I haven't heard things like this, but basically I'm just a very simple musician that believes in melodies, beautiful melodies, and yet can, you know, I believe in creating an ethereal type of atmosphere. But basically, I'm still a melody person, and I like to create melodies, catchy melodies, combined with the ethereal ambience.
You're like a one-man band, aren't you?
That is.
Okay, let's go to Aaron. He's on our Skype line in Winnipeg, Canada. Hey, Aaron, go ahead.
Hi.
You there? Aaron?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you hear me good?
Not anymore. Go ahead.
All right. I'd just like to talk about you're talking about those German scientists there.
Paperclip, yeah.
And, yeah, Operation Paperclip. Yeah, they were Nazis, like Jack Parson and Wernher von Braun there.
Mm-hmm.
Brought over because of their knowledge of the missile and rockets. But they had a plan for a UFO craft there that had been built actually around World War II, the beginning there, powered by like 16 BMW engines, I would think it was.
That is true. The Germans were trying to perfect a UFO, and some are wondering if that was reverse technology, Norio.
There are many, many, stories that link the German technology with the things like the Alboran and Thule Society and so on. That's a very interesting story. But the fact is that the Germans were experimenting on various items such as wingless aircraft so that was already in existence in 1943. The V-shaped flying wing technology was there, and some of these may have been brought to the U.S. In 1945, probably other things as well.
Time for a couple more calls. Kentucky we go. Don, take it away.
Good morning, George. How are you?
Good, Don. Thanks.
I just have a question. I lived in Albuquerque, New Mexico for 4 years while I was stationed at the University of New Mexico NROTC unit as the AMOI. And I was just wondering, because of the Spanish conquistadors and the Pueblo Indians, the Utes and the Sioux with the Phoenix and everything else, do you think that could be a reason for the spirituality or the unidentified objects and everything else being more in New Mexico area than anywhere else?
That's a very, very, that's a very, very good question, and that is basically my belief, too, that New Mexico was chosen for a lot of these projects by the government because of the presence of the you know, deep cultural or spiritual beliefs of the Native American peoples, and also for the fact that it's a beautiful state with a beautiful areas, mountains, deserts, perfect climate in many ways, dry climate, but, you know, all of this combined to make New Mexico really a land of enchantment, and therefore the government knows about all of this, and it's a convenient location for the government to set up a lot of experiments as well.
Norio, this hum you were talking about earlier, is it still going on?
It is still going on. You can actually hear the hum from the latest report about 6 or 7 miles northwest of Dulce. And this was reported on the Pagosa Springs Times newspaper just last year. The entire area north of Dulce, you know, Dulce is right next to Colorado. And the Archuleta Mesa and Archuleta Mountain pass through Colorado, goes through Colorado, and there are strange hums in this region. There was a strange hum. Everybody knows about the hums of Taos in the 1980s, but some people believe that these hums could be, well, you know, even conducted by Sandia Laboratories. In fact, Sandia Laboratories was called during the Taos hums, but I think it was the Sandia Laboratories themselves that were may have been involved in the creation of these hums. Some people believe that there's tunneling going on from these areas even up to Colorado, to the Denver International Airport, from Los Alamos to Dulce, to northern New Mexico, to the Colorado Springs NORAD. And so there are lots and lots of fascinating reports coming even right now.
Do you find that area to be pretty supernatural, pretty mystical?
It's pretty mystical from the very beginning, and that's why I said time and time again that it's a convenient place in the beginning, from the very beginning, to set up PSYOPs, the operations, knowing that there is a phenomena there. And I believe that there is an unseen phenomena in all of this. And that's my bottom line, that in this world there exists a phenomena that we cannot study by the so-called empirical scientific method. There's more to this world than what we can just, be explained by scientific methods.
Norio, it's been years since you've been on. Let's not have that happen again, okay?
Okay, I'm really happy, George, for this opportunity.
All right, my friend. That's Norio Hayakawa, and we'll be back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM.